WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the hot summer months and orange glow sunsets over Royal Farms during Chickenpalooza. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is in a brief respite here. We're sort of reloading. I'm going to be having 31 crab cakes in 31 days, as well as 31 breweries, which means I'm going to stay thirsty during the month of August. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll be giving away some scratch-off tickets all month long. We're also going to be out on the road for Goodwill and our good friends at Window Nation. I'm wearing the Window Nation peace sign here. They're putting the windows in later on. And this guy takes care of all of our roofing needs. He's Bill Cole from Cole Roofing here to talk about, you know, sometimes it's baseball, sometimes it's football, sometimes it's politics, sometimes it's roofs, sometimes it's city issues. Boy, we've had sort of all of it here in the middle of summer, right? I mean, the Orioles have come back to life. The Ravens have had tragedy and been in the headlines. We have a new media organization in town that's breaking all the news now and has become a resource. And we're trying to figure out all sorts of things. And then lo and behold, in the middle of the week, the squeegee boy situation finds its way onto the headline of everyone's topicality during a week when the Orioles are like drawing 30,000 people. It's been a strange week, Bill, and I know I'm not doing a lot of work this week. We're doing a lot of politics. We have an election next week. This is the week where everybody gets a chance to go vote, and you and I come at it honest and trying to fix the world here. How are you? How you holding up? Are you mailing in, or are you voting in person? What are you doing, man?
I'll vote in person, but before we get too far from your very eloquent intro, along with those that heat of summer comes those nasty thunderstorms, so I'm going to do the roof part of this real fast.
Like, I was very, very worried about a tree coming down on my head the other night because that was violent.
Well, you're lucky. I mean, yesterday was a pretty nasty one, and there was a lot of damage out there. So that is something that we respond to quickly. We figure out ways to get people tight. And then
when a storm happens, it's as big for you as a snowstorm in the winter. It's the same sort of thing where, like, that kind of storm, roofs are going to be involved. Your phone's going to ring. You're going to be on whatever you had planned to do this week. Some things are going to have to, you get emergency crews, right?
Well, we do. Material shortages continue to play havoc with that. But, and this is a completely self-serving comment, and you know that I try to avoid those as much as possible. But like, when there's as many less quality organizations running around putting roofs on, when nasty thunderstorms come through, some of those are bound to come off, and then they're calling us back who, you know, the decision was made to go with the lowest cost and do it. And it's like, yeah, okay, I understand. But then how come clean it up later when the storm comes through and rips it back off? So we do get a lot of that, you know, post installation. And
I can imagine. I mean, yeah, you know, don't let a goof on your roof. I've said that for years about you, right?
I get it. Right. I totally understand.
Stole my mother's roof over there 15 years ago. Remember that one?
Sure.
That was something.
That's the same sort of scenario, except in some cases today we're dealing with, you know, much larger buildings.
Bigger mistakes. Right. Yeah. Dude, where do you want to start? You want to start with Squeegee Boys or Orioles, or how they tie together? Because Dennis Kolatsos and I got together earlier this week, and I'm sure Leonard Raskin, when he gets back from Europe, you know, my friends, my sponsors, the people that support what we do here, and I call it Baltimore Positive, but there comes a point where, like, this isn't a friggin' PR show. And Mueller and I go at that all the time about, like, this isn't sunshine and kisses, because I lived in the city, and the Squeegee Boy thing, I got involved in it right away. Oh, because the shooting happened on the corner that I lived on.
Right.
So I walked through that intersection thousands and thousands and thousands of times, driven through that intersection both ways every time I ever left my home for 19 years. Right. So, like, and then some jackass on the internet, I'm a racist. Like, start with that. If I say Squeegee Boys are bad, I'm a racist. That's the first part of the argument. And then the other part of the argument is you don't know what you're talking about. No, I only looked out the window at it for 19 years. Out my window every day of my life, I looked at it and thought, this isn't a good idea. This is going to lead to something bad. In the same way, and this is the least racist thing I could possibly say. Those scooters, those Lime things, they're also a terrible, horrible idea for anybody to be on without a helmet in traffic. They never should have been allowed. So we've done things in the city to allow chaos, and it's not race. It's not crime. It's not, we've allowed chaos, and that has to stop. And for me to be on a bandwagon, that's not a Baltimore positive. It is a Baltimore positive thing, because the only way to make the city better is to stop the chaos.
Well, I mean, one of the thoughts that I go to is around, and I'll bring it back to roofing again, is like, I think everyone recognizes that I am not the guy that's actually on your roof installing the roof, right? So there's a responsibility that comes with being an employer, right? That you trust that my crews are going to do their job. They're going to behave professionally. They're going to, you know, mind what we've all sort of adopted as standard protocol. Sometimes they don't, right? Sometimes they behave in a way that we wouldn't want them to. And we get the phone call. So, sorry, when you, I always come back to like who didn't know this was going to end poorly, right? Like there, it doesn't.
I'm just shocked that five kids haven't been run over in traffic at some point. Like that's an amazing thing, right? From an insurance perspective alone, it's insanity. Keep going, because I have a million things. I want to shoot the moon in this segment, because it just needs to be said. And I don't, when I'm talking about the Orioles or the Ravens or this or that, it doesn't get said, but it needs to be said that this is insanity. It's insanity. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. And that's for these jackasses that don't get outside of Baltimore or have never been to American cities or been in other parts of the world. I've been everywhere. And I've tried travel extensively in cities and urban areas in this country. I have stayed in downtown Oakland for 3 nights a couple of months ago. I've stayed in downtown Chicago, where somebody got shot outside of my door 2 hours before my Uber showed up. So, I mean, I travel. I've never seen squeegee boys anywhere, because it's a bad idea. For any neighborhood, for any kid, for any parent, for any pedestrian, for any driver, it's a bad idea in a city that has carjackings to have people coming up to your car. It's insane. It's insane.
It's a not like fully thought out concept in terms of you can like it or hate it. I'm trying to pull that part out, right? I'm just trying to logically assess it in terms of, we have all kinds of regulations that have been put in place over the years to manage, let's call it the fringes of business, right? The fringes of commerce. So OSHA, right? The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they require certain safety protocols for our work, for manufacturing work, for all work, right? And it's born out of this idea that, hey, we can do a better job of keeping our workers safe, and we can't really trust that all the employers are going to do it because there's a financial disincentive to do it. So let's regulate it so that we can at least ensure, you know, a proper level of safety. I'm pretty sure running in and out of traffic would not fit inside the safe work zone for OSHA. So we workers' comp laws for when
Let's cut through the other part of this. No one needs their windshield cleaned. No one ever. We have a windshield cleaner. We have a button for that in every vehicle that's been manufactured in this country for the last 50 years. So it's a service that's not even a service. It isn't, oh, there's snow out on my porch. Can I shovel it, Mr. Jones?
But that's not a crime, Ness. It's not a crime to have a business that no one wants to, you know, some people don't like, I don't know, tacos, but, you know, lots of people do. So, like, I hear you. We don't need the service. That's debatable. I don't care. The point is, You attempt to legitimize it from a business working standpoint, but none of the protocols, none of the And there's reasons why all this protocol is involved in business.
Because it's a good idea.
Well, people can debate that, but there was an incident that occurred in the past that caused us to create regulations and rules and the standard of care. And to just totally ignore all of that and think that there are no negative consequences, that's just, that's what happens. Maybe this is probably a not fair statement, but like, if politicians are lifelong politicians, they are more apt to create circumstances and laws and rules that don't actually acknowledge the situation.
Look, if these kids
the
need
ground.
Jobs and training, and you think their only other vocation is to shoot you or to be a criminal, if that's what we're saying, these kids need jobs, and if they don't have them, well, what would they do? Well, let's get them jobs. Let's get them training. Let's do something else other than having, in a city that leads the world in carjackings, humans coming up to my car as I enter the city. It's just... it's not tenable. And to think that, by the way, and I want to say this, Bill, because you and I get at it politically and you're like sort of out on your own independent island politically. I never really know where you're coming from. And, you know, Mueller's so far left on so many issues that the ideology that's baked into politics is, well, that's a left issue. I have to support it no matter what. I have to be, you know, the death penalty as an example. Dude, I'm left of Bernie Sanders on most things. You know that about me. I am a pinko. I'm a liberal. I'm all of that, right? I don't know how I can be called a racist by the most leftist. I don't know. Who are these people that think Squeegee? I mean, like, I got attacked all over the internet because these people think Squeegee boys are a good idea. They think it goes on everywhere. Literally, they I couldn't believe it. And I'm like, no. I'm on your team. I'm one of you. This is just stupid. This would be like Larry Hogan stepping up in the middle of this January 6th thing and saying, you know, I'm one of you. You know, I wear a red hat and like all of that. But that guy's a criminal. Donald Trump's a criminal.
Or at least saying
black, white, left, right, east,
you
west,
do realize
American,
it's not
Russian,
okay to break into the Capitol.
He's a criminal. He's a criminal, right? Like, so if you can't admit even when your own team's wrong, but wherever it is, I mean, I get that all the time. Well, you vote for the Democrats in the city and they give you this. Maybe they do, but on the dirt bikes and the Squeegee boys and quality of life, and me living downtown for 19 years, they were two massive detractors of the quality of life, knowing that for 30 Sundays, 500 dirt bikes were going to run through the city and scare people and get people running for cover, doing all sorts of things. The kid doing the wheelie on my wife's head down at the harbor for the last five summers, the same kid, that has to stop. And I don't – it's better leadership. It's policing. It's the mayor, who I was with a couple of weeks ago, that this has happened now. Now, what are they? What's the response to this? Is it going to be thoughts and prayers? Like every time they shoot up a school, and we're going to do nothing about it? Because it feels that way. It feels like they're going to do nothing about it. And the back and forth about the guy with the baseball bat, no bueno, not a good idea. And it cost him his life. But those kids shouldn't be on the corner. They never should have been on the corner and anywhere in the city. And by the way, I did have a really bad incident with a Squeegee boy that I haven't like talked much about, but it was really my wife and I, 12-year-old kid at the corner of Highland and 40.
I've always managed those intersections pretty well. But I mean, it is uncomfortable and more uncomfortable for me is sure. Maybe, I've been in town long enough to know the protocol, right? Like I'm very early to tell them no, thank you. And
how many times has one of the wipers wound up on your windshield when you said no, clearly said no? How many times?
I've not experienced that.
Oh, my God. See, I live downtown, so I'm in and out sometimes 4 or 6 times a day.
It's also a pickup truck, literally. And it's not the easiest one to clean. So I'm sure they just look for easier ones to clean. And I worry that I'm going to be behind the lady, right, who is getting, accosted in front of me. And then what am I going to do, right? You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the concern. Look, this is – try this one. If you are the leadership of the city and that was your child, would you want your child going to that corner
– With a gun.
To wash the windows. Would you want your child driving dirt bikes down Pratt Street? Like, I get it. The mayor, the city council, they're not these kids' parents. But would it be terrible if they thought about it like that? If they thought about their constituents as their children and their extended family and like, because as far as I'm aware of, there are plenty of freaking jobs right now. Like, that's all I hear about every day. Like, and are they the most glamorous jobs in the world? No. Did that matter for 100, 200 years in this country? No.
That's how we built the country. The country was built on glamorous jobs like roofing.
Everybody has to start somewhere.
Like, so that some clown like me can sit here and talk for a living, right?
You just
like,
gotta lean in and do some work and show up and post every day. And, you know, if you try and hone a craft, a skill, you people will advance. People will build careers. If you give them easy ways out, you create other ways to go. I mean, they're humans. They're going to do stuff. Like, I would probably, if I was 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, I was, you know, we were playing wiffle ball or whatever, right? But if I lived downtown, it would not have been a terrible thing to stand on the corner with my buddies and make a little cash. Like, that's not a terrible instinct.
No. Hang on now. I delivered papers. I shoveled snow. We all shoveled snow. I mean, the best part of the snowstorm was not just to get the play in it. It was by the time we were 10 or 11, we could all put $20 in our pocket and go roller skating or buy some baseball cards.
Right.
Literally.
The habitual.
Take that money and go to Clippers games is what I used to do. Right. Seriously. Now that we're talking about it, I remember it. I was 12, 13 years old. That amount of money.
Right.
Dad, I got $7. I got enough for a lower reserve. I want to go down. See Barry Alter play for the Clippers. Right. Jerry Cha-Cha.
That DNA is not terrible, right? Like, that's good stuff. But it takes the parents, the leadership to say, okay, we love that you want to do that, but it's not safe for you or them. So let's come up with another idea.
Is it out of line to say it's bad for business? Is that, you're not allowed to say that? You're not allowed to say how many people, including yours truly at this point, who just, when I go into the city, I avoid squeegee corners. I just do, because I've just had too many squeegees on my windshield against my permission, against my will, with just please, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you. And then there's been incidents as well where, all right, looks like a nice kid, I'll give him $1. You pull out your wad of money, right, because your money's in your pocket, and the kid says, how about you give me a 20 instead? Now that starts to feel like that's a little threatening, right? If it's my wife alone at the car, right? Bald, going to the cancer clinic with a port in her chest. So when the 12-year-old boy sticks the squeegee in the window in my face when I'm a passenger and invites my wife to perform fellatio on him at 1 p.m, when I'm going to Chaps to get a pit beef? Really? Really? 12-year-old kid? Really?
But bad actors exist all over the place.
That can't happen, dude. That can't happen.
But it will.
Not in a great city.
But it will. But it will. I mean, I watched a video the other night of the bodega worker in New York who got stabbed or stabbed the guy. Like, bad stuff happens all the time. Okay.
Well, apparently the guy that shot the kid had an 11-year-old kid, and you know, there's a story there. I don't know what it is, but the fury that he felt about that particular day and the issues, you know, imagine the fury as I drove eastbound after this 12-year-old kid stuck a squeegee in my window being down after I said, "Hey, how's it going, pal? We don't need our windows done today. Thank you very much." That's what, you know, that this, okay. And the point that was made this week is that was 5 years ago. Where's that 12-year-old kid now? That's the real concern, is what happened. I drove away that day. We were not the only ones, I'm sure, who were invited to perform fellatio on a 12-year-old boy on the corner of Highland and Route 40, right? Or Lean Street. So I'm sure we were not the only ones that day. So what then happens to that kid? And that's really at the crux of this, is to your point, where's the parents? Where's school? Where's things that we had?
Forget parents and school. Just use the word community, right? Because we know that some of the kids don't have parents. Some of the kids don't go to school. Like, we know that stuff exists. All bad stuff happens all over the place. Okay. I do not have an expectation for our leadership to be able to prevent all bad things. You're not going to be able to do that. But like, I think your job is to not create little fires that can then become big fires. And this, like, I don't know how many people you would have to ask to say, this is a good idea. It's a good idea for us to support this activity. Because for a long time, it was kind of like, you know, don't ask, don't tell, don't say anything. The police don't do anything about it. And it just, nobody really talked about it. And it just went on. And then they started to talk about it. And the leadership basically supported the concept, right? They supported that what it was happening. And that, in turn, told the police that it is okay.
That these are workers who don't pay taxes, workers right. who have no insurance, workers who provide a service that no one wants, that no one needs, no one. It's literally no one needs the service at all.
It's just so,
I mean,
so...
Then it becomes a hustle, and then it becomes a nuisance, and then people say, I'm just not going to go into this. These are racist people. These are people who want to go into the city, want to go to Little Italy, want to go to Oriole games, want to do things, but would want to support that young man feeding his family if he was working in one of the establishments down there that they want to go and support.
It's so far outside of what the community, the common good, like –
It's only good for the 300 kids who do this agreement. On the perimeter of the city to put $100 in their pocket, and
it's not, right? Because if they actually want to work, they should be working in something that provides them a skill that they can hone, that they can then build a career on.
Oh, and also insurance if they get run over.
Right.
The bill's got insurance if you put them on the roof.
So a mentor, another person in their life that teaches them about dependability and showing up and asking the good questions.
Because they have the hustle. They're out there. They're trying to work.
That's what I'm saying.
I applaud that. I applaud that. It should never have been allowed. Exactly. Should never have been allowed.
Right. You're undermining their ability at a good future. Because they're spending their time doing that. Instead of doing something else that
as a guy like you that would want to employ some of those hardworking guys, right? That would make good the people that are if there's such a thing as a squeegee worker, and this is what you do for a living 5 days a week, and you're out there and this is your hustle and you've been doing it a year and a half, Bill Cole could give you a better life. Any Bill Cole could, right? If you're that dedicated and you're there on the hot days and you're working hard and you're not the kid throwing your squeegee on my windshield when I tell you not to, which you know, became about half the time toward the end of my time downtown, especially after COVID, you know, after the lawlessness where nobody's getting arrested for anything, that if you are the industrious person, Bill Cole can find a career for you with insurance and you can feed your family and get a wife one day or whatever your life would be. that you would have a better. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing. Dude, I haven't talked about this out loud because obviously I learned in the early going that there are people further left of me that are on Mars somewhere that somehow think you can have a city with this going on, that people can just create their own rules, create their own services that nobody needs and stand on the corner in front of your car and say, give me a dollar until you take such service. I mean, it's insane that
you can take that position, but you have to understand that all positions have consequences.
Oh, I understand that. But let me take another non-controversial position that is also a city issue for me. Are those Limes and whatever the hell else, those little scooters, they're the worst idea because they're chaos.
They are.
I cannot believe they allow those to roll in and out of traffic without helmets, without any regulation, that if somebody clipped my ankle and blew my ACL out or I blew my Achilles and I missed 6 months of work because I got run over by one of them, what would happen? What happens in court when I get run over by an errant Lime driver on the promenade at Harbor Place? Like, this is the crazy shit that seeing in the city, and you're like, who thought the $29 a year that Lime's taxes for the 29 cents that you're driving around on makes this a better, more functional city? It was insane to me. So this has to do with city functionality, not race. This is what's good for the city if I were mayor. Right. And I'll tell you what, those things aren't good for the city.
It's the same as when 80-90% of the people are using horses and carriages, and here comes the guy in his car blowing down the road. You know, like, our cities were built a certain way. We didn't heed some of the European cities that were like ahead of us. Like, our cities are mostly not walkable. They're definitely not bicycle rideable. Like, we didn't build them that way. And the scooters is just another push in that direction, that as people, we want our cities to be walkable, bikeable, scooterable, but we jam 50 million cars into them, and we did not build them in a way to have access to. So fine, there will be casualties as we transition from a mostly car city situation to where now we build bike lanes on roads.
So for me to get out in traffic and drive, I have to go get a license. I have to be insured. I have to do all that stuff, right? I have to wear my seatbelt by law, right? Meanwhile, some jackass who's hammered coming out of Federal Hill has her boyfriend on the front, no helmet, weaving in and out of traffic, coming down Light Street.
They're definitely
bad idea. As bad an idea as Squeegee Boys. Bad, bad, bad idea.
Definitely regulate that they all have like automatic not work shutoffs after midnight.
How about you regulate the only 3.5 miles an hour maximum speed, and they can't kill anybody? If you run into somebody, it would be like a bike accident, not like a motorcycle hitting you.
I never have the urge to ride a scooter except for when I'm out of town and it's late at night. Then all of a sudden, riding a scooter back to whatever hotel I'm staying seems like the best idea in the world. And luckily, I haven't done it, but that's the human instinct of inebriation. You know, you're staying in a downtown environment. Like, that is
natural. Were you a skateboarder?
Sure.
See, I didn't skateboard. I roller skated. So that whole motion of one leg or like a one-legged ski, very, very weird to me. I'm very like, you know, legs, I'm fine, you know?
I'm fine. I'm worried about all the other people and cars that are going to do something that I didn't expect them to do.
I hear this right now. I can be the Lime salesman. Oh, it's transportation. It's great. People will use it. It'll be tax revenue. People could get to dinner quicker. They could get to the ballpark from Little Italy, and they could walk too. They could, you know, like maybe they could walk. Maybe that would be good for them. You know, maybe they walk past something. Maybe they wouldn't get hit out in the middle of Lombard Street. So I mean, I could sell it as this future, but great. But where are they going to go? And what are the dumbest people going to do? Like every day of my life, I saw jackasses crossing in front of Camden Yards where there's no walkway. Yeah. There's no pedestrian zone other than on the convention center side, taking the scooters across 395.
Right. Look, you don't have to like all the innovations that are introduced into our world. You just have to recognize that disruption and innovation is as American as hot dogs and 4th of July, right? Like, we're going to do it. There will be casualties. We have to assess these things and make decisions all along the way, like, oh, this is probably a bad idea. This, maybe we should modify this idea. And then we take input from our constituents, you know, and that's how we advance society. So, and the Squeegee Boys falls into that category too. Like, leadership made decisions. Thing, you know, this position was created. Like, let's not get hung up and get into a big fist fight over whether that was a good or bad decision. Let's just talk about how we want it to go from here. What's the right plan for that? Like, what's the right idea for those guys? Like, how can we better help them? How can we improve the experience for people walking up Conway to go to a baseball game? Like, how do we should, those are the discussions that we should be having. And I don't, you know, I'm not entirely convinced.
You know, you've just convinced me why they were in such a hurry. They were going to see the Orioles, right? I mean, obviously, trying to get across 395. Bill Cole is here, Cole Roofing, Gordian Energy. All right, so Orioles, yeah, I mean.
Not yet for me. I mean, I'm trying
to. Dude, they're 500 at the All-Star break. What do you want?
I don't know.
Young, exciting. They got hope. They got promise. Seem like some decent human beings.
I get it. I do. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll tune in at some point. You know, I've tried. Like, I don't know. I missed my time, or it's just not part of the rhythm anymore for me. You know, like it's literally having to go out of your way to find it or watch it, or, you know, like it's just not part of my rhythm anymore. So,
you and a lot of people, dude. Right. Yeah. I mean, I do. You know, look, I can sit here all day with Mueller, who goes out there and there are 4,000 people there 3 weeks ago before they started winning, and just all of the stuff they've done. Right. The Peter Principles. I'm going to re-release that next month. I've been re-releasing Purple Rain 1 and 2 to give people some history. And they say, well, what happened? What really happened? Why? Why do you feel the way you feel? What are your 53 years of experience? Why do you fight with the Orioles? Why? So all of that, the Orioles fight with me. I don't fight with them. I've been here talking about them, covering them fairly, honestly, never wavered. Other than when they threw me out, I don't go anymore, but I'm certainly paying attention when they're winning 9 games in a row, and it's all over my timeline. And for the people that have hung in, and I'm sure you know some of them, right? The people that have hung in and actually watched this ish the last couple of years, I'm happy for them. I'm happy for the city, but I'm happy for the city if people go back, right? It was nice seeing Hawaiian Shirt Night and Tanker Night. People, every year that should draw 30,000. We shouldn't be shocked by that, but how are they going to do when the Yankees come in next week and they're playing big games in July for the first time in forever? They're playing meaningful July baseball games against the New York Yankees. I mean, you could say in 12 and 14 and 16, but those were weird years in that came from the end the first time. Second time was sort of a runaway thing. This is like a real every night. They might make the playoffs. They might make a trade. They might do something. There is a soap opera to follow now. And I'm with you. The last 5 years, why would I watch that? Why would you watch that? Why would anybody
watch that? So many people will not go downtown. And, you know, last week provided.
Is it Squeegee Boys, or do they really feel like they're going to get carjacked or killed? Yeah. Or did this feel like a diminished experience? Is it the price? That's an interesting, because I hear it all the time too. I mean, come on, man. I'm attached to a lot of white people in the suburbs. I am, like, you know, I am.
When things like last week happen, it reinforces their position and it drags another 20, you know, percent into their camp. Like, well, I ain't going down there anymore. And it's, look, going downtown even if you're not afraid for your personal safety, can be a bit of a pain in the ass, right? Like, it's not as easy going as going to a suburban shopping center. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that you have to park, you have to walk. Like, it's a challenge. So you have to want to overcome that challenge. Well, if you put public safety, and whether someone really believes they're likely to get carjacked or shot, just the mere fact that it's a percentage is like, I don't need to do that, right? Like they don't. It's really hard to overcome that. Like, I don't know how.
You know, it is interesting you say that, because let's just play along here, okay? And I'll play along for 2 more minutes, and then I'll let you go, and we'll go back to normal things, and we'll go back to the political programming and the election this week and all that stuff. But how many times does a suburban person in Las Vegas say, I'm not going down to the strip because I'm afraid of getting shot or carjacked? Or in Miami or wherever. I don't know that percentage. I don't know what it is, but I hear it so much more here. And maybe it's a Fox 45 thing and people watching it and being, it's such a small town that every shooting, everything happens to everybody. Everybody always knows what's going on here. Whereas maybe in some other places, there's a shooting in downtown Dallas. Nobody says, well, I'm not going to the hockey game tonight or to the concert or to the basketball game, right? Because there's a shooting in every city every night, right? Like, it's America and everybody has guns. And we all think that's a great idea. So you give 400 million people guns, you know, people are going to get shot every day. That's just a fact. So the perception of I'm not going to downtown Chicago, I'm not going to go to a Bears game because I'm going to get killed or carjacked, or downtown Milwaukee to a Bucks game, or I'm not going to – how about this? The other day, I was going to go to Philadelphia to see the Dead & Company. My buddy Matt Gallagher offered me a couple free tickets. I didn't use them. I didn't go. But I don't say I'm not going because I'm afraid that I'm going to get killed. I'm not going to Philadelphia because of that or whatever. There is this thing about Baltimore now, right? There really is.
Well,
the people that I talk to say, I'm not going there anymore. I don't hear this from my friends in Cleveland, that they're not going to downtown Cleveland for anything because of safety or nuisance or, I mean, we can talk about cost. You can talk about convenience, parking. I'll hear all of that. That's the same everywhere. Sure. But when you tack on the I'm afraid for my safety, I don't know if the people in Seattle feel that way about going down to Pike Place, that they feel that way. Maybe they don't want to deal with homeless people or drug addicts, because there's a lot of that in Seattle. There's, you know, there's nuisance factors everywhere, including cost and parking and all of that. But Baltimore's unique in that way right now, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop, dude. It's got to stop.
You know, 78,000 people will still go down there on a Sunday, right? Like
when they want to go.
That doesn't seem to be a problem, right? The soccer game's coming up, right?
Saturday night, sure.
Yeah, that'll be full. So,
but the restaurants aren't full enough, right? I mean, to say I'll come down there for a thing, for Garth Brooks, for Bruce Springsteen, which is going to happen next April, right? So like saying I'm coming down for that, all right, it's Bruce. I'll take my chances. But how about I'm going to just go to dinner at Soda Sopra and just hang out, or just go down to the Prime Rib, or just go down to Tio Pepe, or just go get a crab cake at Fadley's, right? Just want to go down and get a crab cake. I want to go down to Lexington Market and get a crab cake, which I've been doing all my life. Do I want to do that or do I not? And when that becomes a question in my world, in my audience, it's terrible. It's terrible. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be led, to your point. It needs leadership. It really does. And we talked about that from the minute we met each other, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is obviously an extremely complicated discussion that has so many different aspects to it. We've been talking about public safety for a long time. Everyone recognizes that it's an important part of the conversation. There are other things you just opened up a giant discussion, but like before I go, we didn't even get to talk about this, but like the guys that are doing the referendum for the property taxes in the city, like that's interesting. People should look that up and make their own decision about whether they think that's a good idea or not. There are people trying to do stuff, right? Like you don't have to agree with that idea, but you have to appreciate the fact that there are people trying to do stuff, right? Trying to figure things out, trying to make it better,
And I try to talk to them, and you support that. Yeah. Course, right. I mean, like,
right.
But I should not be angry about it. I shouldn't pretend that 500 kids terrorizing the city on dirt bikes every weekend is something that should not be halted. Period.
It's just demoralizing. It's demoralizing to the people that are trying to do good. Even the people that I would disagree with on their plans or their ideas or the, you know, leadership that's there now that I might critique. The fact that that stuff happened is demoralizing to them. And some amount of that is going to happen in the world. Humans are crazy, right? Like, crazy stuff happens. So we have to try and, like, limit the opportunities for that. Like, put us in the right position where we can try and prevent those things from happening. Let's not, like, create an obvious potential disaster. Right.
Chaos, as I called it. He is co-roofing. If you had a storm, do anything awful up on your roof, don't let it goof on your roof. Make sure you find our friends at Cole Roof. You can find them at Gordian Energy as well if you're getting some solar panels as well. Bill, we've run extra time here today. I appreciate you. Accelerant away. A little shout out for Accelerant this week as well. And, you know, maybe the Orioles are going to win 100 in a row before it's all over with, right?
Wouldn't that be crazy? appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Something magic happens. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. You know, if that didn't scare you off, stick around. We'll continue to talk more about making the world a better place.